B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG, it's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
With Edelman split right, play fake by Brady on a deep drop and a lot of time against a four-man rush. He throws it to the near side, picked off, and goodbye. Eric Rowe's going to take it to the house down the left side with a pick six. That's his first interception in the last 4 years in regular season play, and he does it at his old home stadium here in New England.
Keep goofing around. Keep goofing around. Now, Sanu's running a deep drag there. I don't blame him for not throwing it to it. He sticks with Edelman. This is what happens when you lose the trust of a quarterback. So they do a combo route. Sanu's running that deep drag. Brady didn't even look at him. He's stuck with Edelman. The ball is delivered late to the flat. Eric Rowe sees it. He kind of sinks back, and he baits him. He knows he's going to Edelman. You know why? Because he's played here, and he knows what's going to happen. When things get dire, Tom's going to go to the guys he trusts.
.504 on the final Monday of the year. No Felger, no Maz. The Patriots made Jim Murray violently ill yesterday, so you get me, Matt McCarthy, Paul Perillo alongside Mike O'Brien on the Sports Hub headlines here in our Town Fair Tire studios in Dorchester on 98.5 on the FM dial and on NBC Sports Boston across New England and across the country. Now, as Felger would say at these moments, this is an opportunity for you guys to hit on anything that we have not hit on at this up to this point in the show. Is there anything that you two would like to add before we go back to the wonderful phone calls?
I'll let you go first there, Hotshot.
Hot shot.
Yeah. What do you got?
You can't call a hot shot when you're plan D for the day.
I'll take that as a nothing.
That's harsh.
Nothing.
As a holiday fill-in, I wear that badge proudly.
All right.
I'm with you. Give it to the people, Matt.
All right. Let's go back to the people.
I will say that my buddy Mike Giardi texted me, and evidently Josh McDaniels did interview with Green Bay last year, so he did take one of the interviews. So maybe this is the year that he takes a job somewhere else and takes his second crack at it.
We focus on facts here on this program.
Correct.
It's what we've always done on the
Felger and
Maz program for the last 10 years. That's real information, hard information right there for you and for the people. Mike's in Bedford. Hey, Mike.
Hi. I'm just wondering why everybody's making a big stink about having to play wild card. It's free football, baby. If they'd won that game, you're leaving football on the table.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Whee!
That call has to be a prank, right?
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I thought. That's why I was really upset about it. But I know that you're in a bit of a mood today.
I am in a bit of a mood. You know why? Because I cannot believe that the Patriots lost that game yesterday. I'm shocked. I'm stunned. And I'm apoplectic, to be honest. They had no business losing that game. That's as bad as it gets. Over the course of the last 20 years, find me a regular season loss worse than that one. Maybe Miami in 2015. Maybe. But that was worse yesterday. Completely inexcusable from the Patriots. They blew it. Plain and simple, the Patriots blew it. They were 8-0 to start the year. We were talking about them going 19-0, going undefeated. Now they went 4-4 in their last eight games. They gave away home field. They gave away a bye against a 4-win team. I mean, it's disgraceful. It's completely disgraceful what we saw from the Patriots yesterday. You know why it was disgraceful? It wasn't the fact that, you know, Miami came out and played well, and they did. And give the Dolphins credit. Miami came out and they played like they had something to play for.
Yep.
The Patriots did not play that way. And your defense, your elite defense, this all-time defense we heard from a lot of Patriots fans through the first half of the season, that this is an all-time defense. Forget the 03-04 Patriots. They're the 85 Bears. Your all-time defense, Patriots fans, allowed Ryan Fitzpatrick to drive the field on you when it mattered the most, with essentially the season on the line.
He threw for 320.
320.
It's like the first time that the Patriots have allowed a 300-yard passer all year, and I want to say in like span of like 20-some-odd games.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, in a game you had to have at home. So shame on me. Shame on me for buying in on this team as a legitimate Super Bowl contender the way that I essentially did all last week, because after that Buffalo game, I thought they had turned the corner. So shame on me, because you went from, in the matter of one game, You went from having a fighter's chance to go to the Super Bowl because you'd have a first-round bye, you'd get Kansas City at home, now to playing a tough wild-card game and having to go to on the road to Kansas City and to Baltimore to get to Miami. They're not doing it. Season over as a result of that. Just awful.
Well, I just want to say, can you add that your defense lost to an offense that fired their offensive coordinator the day after you beat you? Forget about Ryan Fitzpatrick. They fired their offensive coordinator.
There were
and
a lot of little
them.
Things like that that came up. You know, we were sort of making light of the fact. You know, we were trying to hype up the game before the game. You know, on our pre-game show
Good
on Patriots Talk. No, we were saying, you know, well, you know, the Dolphins are 4-4 in their last eight, and you know, we were trying to sort of, you know, make a case for Miami without really believing it. And then after the game, we said, you know, say what you will, but the Dolphins are now 5-4 in their last nine games. And then Mike Dussault, who I work with on the shows with Hardy, said, same as the Patriots.
Yep. Bills went 5-4.
5-4 in the last nine.
Patriots went 5-4. Yeah. Dolphins went 5-4. Jets went 6-3. That Tony Maz take isn't looking so bad right now. Jets go 6-3 in their final nine. It always comes back around. You see, that's why you double down on your takes. You never know.
I think they were
you never know when they'll pay off.
I think they were 6-2 in the last eight. And just the most Jets thing, by the way. The two losses, they lost to the best team in football and the worst team in football.
Bob's in Chicopee.
Baltimore and Cincinnati.
Bob, what's going on, Bob? Bob?
Hi, how are you guys?
What's up?
It's very refreshing. I think you guys are doing a really good job.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
I want to talk about the game a little bit tomorrow, or yesterday, I'm sorry. And I don't really think the Patriots were playing to win to begin with. And when
really? Why? Why, Bob? Because, I don't know, they kind of needed to win that game.
I understand. But at times, I think the Patriots look at the odds going forward into the playoffs and say, what is going to be the best-case scenario for us? And I know that's hard to believe, but I coached football for 30 years. And one of the things I've noticed all year long is Tommy Brady, I mean, his
all right, Bob, thanks for the call.
No, I thought
you were giving me that.
No, I was the opposite. I needed that like I need air. I wanted to know if there was some seriousness to that, like that they lost the game on purpose because they look at the odds. I wanted to know if there was any validity to his point. And, yeah, we'll never know.
I guess, you know what? It's
we'll
true.
Never know. I know Tony takes
it's like
a lot
Van
of heat.
Gogh, not appreciated in his own time. Bob's right? call from Chicopee, not appreciated
Tony
in his own
time.
Tony
sits right here in this very chair, you know, every day, and he takes a lot of heat. And by the way, he earns a lot of it.
Yes.
But there's one take that he has that is so dead on, and that is his reincarnation take.
Yeah, the reincarnation
I
want
to come back as Bill Belichick because even when I screw up, people think I did it on purpose.
Oh, the Patriots lost on purpose yesterday. No, they didn't.
They
didn't.
And that take is so accurate. We have, I would like to tell you that we get one or two calls, emails, texts, tweets.
We've gotten two today.
I get tons. I would say it probably comes close to getting into triple digits, which is a lot for one topic like that. That people think they held back. They played vanilla. They didn't have the same. They didn't care if they won or lost because they just feel it doesn't matter. They were resting guys. I'm telling you, one after another, these late season games, it's amazing to me that you could get a bye in the first round. Julian Edelman is basically held together by duct tape, and he's out there playing his ass off, and you think that they lost that game on purpose.
Yeah, give me a break with that. Seriously. And I understand that it's hard to kind of wrap our heads around the fact that the Patriots laid an egg like that, and that's what I just can't possibly comprehend. But at least I'm not going to the point where I'm saying, well, no, they must have lost the game on purpose. No, they lost the game because they didn't come out ready to go. They weren't prepared. You know, the defense didn't show up. The Dolphins seemed to want it more for some reason. I don't know. But it's not because they deliberately lost the game. They desperately, desperately needed that game. And they just weren't ready. They weren't. Let's go to Larry in North Reading. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys, I need to take issue with something you said a while ago about blaming Belichick for them coming out flat. These guys are highly paid professionals. They're supposed to be men. They knew what was on the line and what happened to do your job.
Well, I would just say, Larry, that Bill Belichick didn't do his job. And sure, the players deserve a lot of criticism, but at the end of the half, Bill Belichick flat out quit at the end of that half. He didn't want to score points. The offense had just put up 10 points on their previous two drives, and Bill Belichick didn't even give them a chance because he didn't call the timeout before the punt, which I found totally inexcusable. So yeah, listen, you can criticize the players all you want, and rightfully so. Stephon Gilmore played one of his worst games as a Patriot at one of the worst times. The defense, again, allowed Ryan Tannehill to drive the field on them with essentially the season on the line.
Yeah, there's a lot of blame
of course
to go
there
around,
is.
But ultimately it's the head coach's job to make sure his team is ready to play. They weren't ready to play.
They certainly weren't. Let's go to Bo in Saugus. Hey, Bo.
Hey, how you doing? Hey. So they start 8-0. The defense is the best since the 85 Bears. I'll give them a pass for the Ravens game because the Ravens offense is great. Then I'm tuning into Sunday Night Football, and Steven Belichick is being spotlighted, holding the iPad as the genius behind the defense. And if that's in fact the case, you know, he should be fired for that effort yesterday. They're playing man coverage the whole game. In the final series, they could have played a soft zone, given Gilmore some help with the safety, and gotten off the field with a win. But nobody is poking the bear and talking about the fact that this guy is being credited for running the defense, and he should be held accountable for what happened yesterday.
I agree. You have to hold the coaching staff accountable. I mean, the question is, who's really running the defense? Is it Steve Belichick? Is it Mayo? Is it Bill Belichick? They all deserve criticism.
Bill Belichick.
And I think
the defensive coordinator.
And I think, and Greg Bedard made this point last week, and he was ahead on this. I think the Patriots have been unwilling to go away from what worked for them so well early on in the year, which is the zero blitz, the real aggressive approach. And that's, listen, I mean, that's what their defense has been made of this year. But at times, they've been unwilling to go away from it. And Fitzpatrick was tearing it apart on that final drive. You don't try something different.
I agree.
You know, and that's, I think that's a fair criticism.
Yeah, and Greg, I think last week really detailed some of the aggressive decisions defensively in spots where it called for a little bit more prudence,
right.
You know, for lack of a better word. And I think Houston was one of them where they gave up the back-to-back touchdowns, the first of which was dropped in the end zone. And then
they came back the next play
and basically ran the same thing. The Buffalo one at the end of the first half where they dropped the pass in behind Patrick Chung to Dawson Knox and set up a touchdown. I don't necessarily advocate, you know, going soft zone and letting them drive down the field and hoping you can get a stop in the red zone either. It wasn't big plays that got them down the field. It was they patiently picked their way. They had 3.5, 4 minutes, and they took their time and went down the field, and ultimately they executed better than the Patriots did. But I don't like when teams get really passive in those situations. I think that's what has served them well is their aggressiveness and their ability to force a mistake and not necessarily hope the other team doesn't execute. I like that approach
sure.
that the Patriots defense has had this year. It didn't work.
Right, but can you understand when it's not working and try something different? And I think that's a fair criticism. And
oh, absolutely. Anything criticizing yesterday to me is fair game.
Sure.
Because they didn't play well against the bad team.
Can you put a robber over the middle? Can you do something? Can you have somebody, you know, in a zone over the middle as your corners are just getting picked apart on these slants and crossers? Can you do something? Please. You're supposed to be the greatest defensive coach of all time. You probably are. Can you at least recognize when something isn't working and try something new? It was just a weird day.
And I'm sure that he would look at it as, you know, they didn't execute. And he's probably right.
Right.
It probably was more about the poor execution than anything else. But you would like to think that, you know, the way that Parker was performing against Gilmore, maybe a change of the approach was in order, and it didn't come.
I can't believe we're doing this show. I know I've said that a number of times. I can't believe we're talking about this day. Wild card weekend for the Patriots. What world are we living in? It's Matt McCarthy, Paul Perillo in for Felger and Maz today.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
I love it. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You were right, Mavs.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Can we briefly hit on one thing that we have not hit on yet today? We've hit on a lot of things associated with yesterday's game. Matt McCarthy, Paul Perillo, in for Felger and Maz, Mike O'Brien on headlines. Big thanks to Billy Lanny and Kevin Maggiore behind the glass. 617-779-0985. Full phone lines right now, so when somebody drops off, you pick up the phone and join us. Mohamed Sanu. Holy crap. Does this guy suck? Is this guy bad? And listen, he had one good play on that final drive, so we should at least give credit where credit's due, where he came back to Brady, went up the field. Yeah. That was a big catch. That was his best moment so far in a Patriots uniform. But my God, I mean, the crossing route before the interception, Brady looks at him right on the interception, says, "No, I'm not going there." He runs short of the sticks again to start the third quarter. This guy's killing this Patriots offense right now. He's killing them because, I mean, look at the investment that they made in getting Sanu. He was supposed to be the answer and be a fix and give the Patriots a different dynamic and, you know, an inside physical receiver. Like, everything should work with this guy, and he's been a good player in the past. I think we were all excited when they made this deal, but I mean, this has been a disaster for the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a slower transition. I think people got really excited when he caught 10 balls in that Baltimore game. You know, and everybody's like,
game.
Wow, look, he's up to speed already. I thought there were a lot of little dump offs. A lot of short gains. I think he had 10 catches for 81 yards. And I'm not saying that that's not good. I'm saying I think people got ahead of themselves with the degree of difficulty. I think, if you remember correctly, they ran 60 minutes of no huddle that night. So those are all little checkdowns that he's throwing to Sanu. Those are easy. There's no substituting. There's no different personnel groups. There was one personnel group the whole game, no huddle. He basically did the same thing all night. He either ran a quick out or a quick slant, and it worked, but they weren't overly productive offensively. I mean, for the game, they moved the ball at times, but they didn't score. You know, they didn't score any more points than they scored yesterday. So he's been disappointing. There's no doubt about it. At the time, I was much more interested in trying to acquire Emmanuel Sanders. It didn't work out. That's not what they chose to do. I think they wanted it this way. I think the Niners wanted it that way, too. I think they wanted Sanu over Sanders, too. And they're probably, thanking their lucky stars that it worked out the way it did.
So you think the Patriots wanted Sanu over Sanders?
Did.
Because I think, you know, at least there was a sense that I got, and just kind of watching it from the outside looking in, well, would John Elway trade Emmanuel Sanders to the Patriots? You know, is that the type of deal that would happen? And is that the reason that they got Sanu? Or do you feel like Sanu is their number? You feel like he was their number one the whole time?
I think that they preferred Sanu. Yeah, he was a little cheaper, and they also had some term in the contract, so, you know, they have him for next year. I think it was the wrong decision. I think Sanders is a better player. I thought that beforehand. I think they also were a little bit spooked. I think Sanders was dealing with a knee injury in Denver.
I think he was.
Although, you know, he played all 17 games. 17.
Not too bad.
No bye week for him.
No, that's because the 49ers actually took care of business. Unlike the Patriots yesterday.
I mean, he played 17 regular season games because he didn't get a bye because he got traded.
Oh, got it.
Before
right.
and after the byes.
My point still stands.
You know what I'm saying?
49ers took care of business.
You getting what
I get what you're putting
out. Al Michaels threw that out there last night. I wasn't aware of that. But, you know, Sanders has been really, really important to that Niners offense.
He's a gamer,
and Sanu has struggled to make an impact. What I've been really surprised with Sanu, I've seen a lot of guys struggle to pick up the system. A lot of veterans have had difficulty, and my guess is that it goes hand in hand. When you're mentally struggling to know exactly what you're doing, the physical sometimes gets affected. He's had a lot of drops.
I mean, that drop was brutal yesterday.
He's dropped a lot of easy passes. You know, and ironically, he makes a one-hander yesterday that was much more difficult than most of the ones that he hasn't been able to get. A couple of fourth downs in the last, you know, two or three, 4 weeks that have gone right through his hands. He struggled to catch the ball.
He doesn't know where the sticks are either, and that's a big problem. Not that Sanu and
they
the weapons...
They need more from him.
They absolutely need more from him, because then you put Jacoby Myers out there, and he has the illegal shift. You want to talk about a jag. Jacoby Myers, jag. Just a guy, Jacoby Myers.
I think he's worth sort of developing. I just don't think he's ready for much more. You know, probably had 25 or so catches. I think he did a nice job filling in, but he's a complimentary piece. And maybe next year he'll be a little bit more comfortable and can give you more than that. But right now, yeah, he's not going to be a difference maker for you.
The weapons are a problem. Don't get me wrong. But the weapons weren't the problem yesterday. Tom Brady was the problem with that offense yesterday. That pick, inexcusable. For the first time, it seems like, you know, they've protected him the last two and a half weeks, whatever you want to call it. And Brady was not good. And that's one of your major takeaways from yesterday. It has to be. It has to be that Tom Brady was not good. Tony in Holbrook wants to talk about Brady. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
Do you guys remember a statement that all good things come to an end?
That's right.
Yes.
Nothing ends well in life, Tony.
I think we all have to accept that Brady's good times have come and that we have to think about the future.
I'm not willing to accept that yet.
Yeah,
I'm not either,
and I can wait till the offseason to do that. I think that there's still some good football. I just saw him play a terrific game just two weeks ago. So I think that they can put something together. Can they go all the way to the Super Bowl and win it? I'm not sure about that. But I think Brady still has some good football left, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see good football out of him next year, whether it's here or somewhere else. I think he can still play.
John's in the car. Hey, John. Yeah, John.
Yeah, hi.
Hey,
Max, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Always love the Paul here. Hey, guys, listen, with my Yahoo Patriots fans, I told them weeks ago when the Patriots were still 4-0, I saw something, and, you know, I'm no expert in football like Paul, but I told this team is not winning any game except Miami and Cincinnati. I was wrong about Miami. Honestly, I told them, I have a WhatsApp group where every day, every week I get vilified saying, you're so negative about the Patriots. You're like Michael Felger. No, I told them because this team cannot block, run block. And I don't know about Belichick, what he's doing this year. And Tom Brady, if you go back and look, Tom Brady before 2010, 2009, and I mean, 2008 and 2006 season, before Gronkowski came on, that's exactly what his stats are this year. I think Tom Brady is killing this team. They made a wrong move 3 years ago, trading away Garoppolo. I know we can't live in the past.
We actually can live in the past because this is Sports Talk Radio, and that's basically all we do. They didn't make a mistake. I mean, they've won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady. I think they're still capable of winning a Super Bowl with Tom Brady now, just not this year because they screwed up yesterday, and now they have to go on the road. But listen, I don't think Brady is 100% the problem. He was a problem yesterday, but I don't think he's a problem with this team.
I don't put it all on Brady.
I don't either.
And I'm not overlooking how he played this year. I don't think he played great last year, and I don't think he's been as good this year as he was last year. So certainly I can see, you know, the 41, 42. Is it going to be better at 43? Probably not. But I do think if you had a little bit more around him, that the performance would improve a little bit. But you can't just overlook the fact that he's not the same guy in the pocket. I think that there were times yesterday where he had opportunities to look around and make some plays, and the throws just weren't there. I don't know what the reason is. I don't know if it's just from, you know, a whole season of basically been beaten down and knowing that he hasn't had the time or the options. Listen to Zoe in that clip about the interception. He's talking about Sanu and not having
the
trust.
He's open and doesn't trust him.
Eric Rowe knows when it's dire. And I'm thinking to myself, when it's dire, they're down 10-3 at home with the ball. Like in the second quarter, what's so dire about this? Or 3-0. And no, what am I talking about? Mm-hmm. It was 3-0.
It was 3-0.
3-0. That made it 10. That made it 10-0. Right.
I think it was 3-3.
Pick six. No, it was 3-0. Now that it was even less dire than I thought.
Sure.
You can't just overlook that Brady hasn't played well, but I still think he has the ability to do so.
Paul, good stuff. Appreciate it. Paul's got to head out. But we've got one more segment of your wonderful phone calls coming up next. And then there was one. Paul's bailing. Jim Murray couldn't come in because the Patriots made him sick today. So you've got me and Mike O'Brien taking you for the final half hour here of Felger and Maz on the final Monday of the decade. How about that? We'll continue with your wonderful phone calls and all your thoughts on that Patriots disaster.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Yeah, they did a good job. They did a better job than we did. Simple as that.
Oh, Bill, if only it were so simple. And I suppose it sort of is. Yeah, the Dolphins outplayed you yesterday. The Dolphins played like they had something to play for, and you really didn't. But that's why it's not simple. Why didn't you play with more intensity? Why did you, Bill, quit on the first half? Why did you flat out just up and say, no, we don't want to score points here. We're good. Even though our offense just scored 10 points on its previous two drives. Why did you up and quit in that situation? So you can say that the Dolphins outplayed you. Yes, that's true. But it's not just as simple as that. Why weren't you ready to go for a game that you desperately needed? And that's what I'm shocked and stunned by today. That the Patriots weren't ready to go for a game that they needed and instead turn in what I think is the worst regular season loss this franchise has had in the last 20 years. With all the implications in that game, how desperately they needed the bye. That was a gimme. That was a layup. And credit the Dolphins. I mean, they came out ready to play. But that's as much of a layup as you get in the NFL. Week 17 at home against the Dolphins. Come on, really. You lose that game and lose out on home field. Shocked, stunned, angry. That's how you should feel if you're a Patriots fan today. It's Matt McCarthy in for Felger and Maz right now. No more Paul Perillo, no Jim Murray. We got Mike O'Brien alongside with you and your wonderful phone calls. For the next segment, as we take you up until the final word, let's go to Tim in Quincy. What's up, Tim?
Guys, yeah, I couldn't agree. Worst regular season loss in the Belichick era. But all this Brady bashing, like... he was good scoring 24 points against Buffalo, but now all of a sudden 24 points isn't good enough. But what really stunned me in the game, gentlemen, is the fact that it was a one-dimensional offense from Miami. They didn't even consider running the ball. Why are we playing a nickel-dime defense, 6-7 D-backs out there, just no adjustments at all, and they scored 17 points in the second half. Brady did give him a 24-20 lead.
Right.
Do you take that against Kansas City?
You take 24 points. And hell, I said this last week, Tim. If you score 24 points in a playoff game, you should win that game. They scored 24 points yesterday against the Dolphins. That should be enough. You know, for all the criticisms of the offense, and rightfully so, deservedly so, they did put up 24 points, and when they had to have it, when they were trailing in the fourth quarter, the same way that they had to have it against Buffalo last weekend, they got the job done. And then the defense turned around and allowed Ryan bleeping Fitzpatrick to drive the field on them in a moment that they needed, in a moment that they had to get a stop. They had to get a stop, and they couldn't stop Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm shocked. I'm stunned. And I'm angry about that. And you should be too, Patriots fans. Tom and Quincy. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up, Matt?
What's up, Tom?
Hey, I was at that game yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And it was awful. You know, to say the least. But this is starting to get on my nerves. It's pissing me off a little bit. These people with this apologetic, oh, well, they're playing this way because they don't want the other playoff teams to know what they got going and all this crap. So with that logic, that mindset, so do they really mean to tell me that this was all pre-planned, that they went 8-0 first half of the year, 4-4 second half of the year on purpose?
It's the master plan, Tom. Don't you understand? It's the master plan. Bill Belichick could never possibly be wrong about this. They wanted to play on Wild Card Weekend.
He's playing 3D chess.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that you think that you'd go from number one seed home field throughout and on purpose drop to the third and now host the Wild Card game. That's the most ridiculous logic I've ever heard in my life, and it's seriously, seriously starting to annoy me.
Well, so, Tom, tell you what, and sorry to cut you off there. I'm going to put Tony in Worcester on the line because I think he wants to talk about that. Hi, Tony.
Exactly. How you doing?
What's up?
So I think you guys have it all wrong. I tell you, Belichick's a genius. He didn't intentionally want it to go this way, but seeing it went this way, guaranteed. Look at the game yesterday. We definitely, that game was, they did not want to win that game. They're okay with staying on the, you know, letting the bye, they don't want the bye.
Why?
He wants to keep momentum, because they want momentum going, because when you take
what momentum? Tony, what momentum? There's no momentum. They killed all their momentum yesterday. You can't be serious about this, Tony. Come on.
That's serious. So look, listen, okay, they put Burkhead in there, right? He gets, what, 15 yards, right? They take him right out. You don't see him again. They put Sony Michel in. He's getting negative yards, right? They don't put him back in because you watch this as their plan. I guarantee you we're going to destroy them Saturday night, and going forward we're going to win the Super Bowl. Guarantee.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? This, I shouldn't go to the calls. Billy, are these the calls that we're going to get? What is this?
Building momentum off a loss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, they wanted to lose the game so they could build the momentum. Oh, yeah. Building the momentum of losing to a 4-win Miami Dolphin team. So, you know what? You can actually, it's good that you play next weekend. It's good, right? No,
you're building momentum when losing 3 of your last 5?
Totally. 100%.
Oh, just trending upward.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. These people are going to kill me. Really. Oh. Ken in the car, please be better. Hi, Ken. All right, Ken was not better. I'm going to put Ken on hold. Actually, you know what? We've got full phone lines, so I'm going to clear Ken's line up for somebody else. Let's go to Chuck in Marlboro. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Eminem. Hey, great job filling in for the regular Stew.
Thanks.
My thought is this. I want your opinion real quick. I'm going to hit 2 points. Conspiracy theory that Belichick lost this game on purpose. He had the entire defense huddled around him for a good 45 seconds to a minute on the sideline. You look at how that defense performed with the lack of tackling, the lack of jarring the ball loose. This was done intentionally by him.
No, it was not. No, it was not. What are we doing? The Patriots deliberately lost the game so that they could play on wild card weekend against a decent Tennessee Titans team when they're banged up to all hell and Tom Brady's got a foot injury and a shoulder injury, elbow injury, and Julian Edelman is held together by duct tape. But no, they deliberately lost the game. What the hell are we doing? What happened on this show? What is going on? Billy, help me out here. I don't do this too often. Should I take another call?
Yeah, one more. This is great. Please take more.
Oh.
Lines are loaded. Let's fire through them.
Jesus. Jesus.
You sound like Zoe.
Dan in Grafton. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Good
What's
show,
up?
Man.
Thanks.
Listen, they suck. Brady's too old, man. He should have won out last year. I mean, he's still on the ball. He's throwing the ball to nobody. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think they're one and done. I'm sorry, but they're one and done.
I think so, too, Dan. And again, you know, that's the difference between yesterday, you know, winning yesterday and losing yesterday. You get the bye, you get Kansas City at home. Listen, that's a tough game. All right, I think we can all admit that that's a tough game. But you've got a chance to win that game. You feel good they're playing at home, all right? So you beat Kansas City. I mean, you very well could have beaten Kansas City earlier this year. You beat Kansas City at home, and then you know what? You got a puncher's chance in Baltimore. I don't know if I'm going to pick them in that game, but you get the bye, you beat Kansas City, you go to Baltimore for the AFC Championship game, and you're one of the final four again, and anything can happen. You lose that game now, you have to play at home against Tennessee, you know, the best wild card team out there. You
and
know,
that game is going to be a battle.
Of course it's going to be a battle.
That is just going to be a pounding.
But no,
even if you come out on top.
No, but they of course wanted to tank this game, which I think is what Paul in Rhode Island wants to say. Paul, please, don't say this.
Yes. Thanks, Joe.
Okay.
I know you're a baseball guy. I just wanted to say that 75% of America wants to see the Patriots lose, but I can truly say no days off, but no weekends off. And I think we have a concrete achievement this weekend going to with the Titans. They have a record. A playoff game.
They do have a record. Everybody has a record in the NFL. Thank you very much, Tony. Lisa in New Hampshire, you're going to talk some sense into these people, right, Lisa?
Yeah, I think it's crazy these people that are saying that they wanted to intentionally tank the game. I think if you look at the half, they went into the half with 3 timeouts in their pocket. They made no attempt to put any points on the board. I think it's arrogance. I don't think they took the Dolphins seriously. I think they felt like, you know, we can put up points in the second half. And I think it bit them in the ass, to be honest with you.
I agree, Lisa. I 100% agree. It was arrogance. It was stupidity, whatever you want to call it. It was, you know, Bill trying to send a message to the offense. It was just flat out quitting on the half and thinking that you'd win the game on defense. And it turns out that you couldn't.
Yeah, it's surprising to see this from a Bill Belichick team, because it's not something you often say, but it felt like the Patriots were reading their own headlines heading into this Dolphins game. And kind of, we're at home,
right?
It's the Dolphins. We got this. And the offense was not great in the first half. I mean, you talk about Tom Brady being great. You threw a pick six and a touchdown. I mean, and it was a 3-point difference.
Right.
So that was basically the difference in the game.
Well, right? to your point, Mike, you know, were they reading their own headlines? Because Bill Belichick said earlier on in the week, oh, this is a playoff game. This is a playoff game. They coached and played that game like that was lip service from Belichick, because the Dolphins played like they had something to play for, which the Patriots did. The Dolphins didn't. And the Dolphins certainly came out more interested in winning that game. That's for sure, which I find totally unacceptable.
Well, this goes to my point. The offense not great in the first half. I think the Bill Belichick lack of timeouts was a message sender. Why would I give you the opportunity? Let's get our stuff together here for the second half.
I would just say that they scored 10 points on the previous two drives. So if that was the time that Bill wanted to send a message, Bill, you sent it at the wrong time. I think this is the worst regular season loss the Patriots have had in the last 20 years, with all the implications going into it. Tim in Bellingham disagrees with that, though. Hey, Tim.
I absolutely disagree, and thanks for taking the call.
But anytime.
You got to think about, you got to put it into perspective. We knew they sucked right now. I think of the games, I think of the Peyton Hillis game in 2010. I think of opening night against Kansas City a few years ago. I think of on to Cincinnati. Those teams were supposed to win. This game, we're supposed to beat the Dolphins, but we know they suck. We've been watching all year. They have nothing on offense. So I don't consider this the worst because of the expectations going into the game.
Tim, I understand where you're coming from, and it's a fair point. You make a good one. The difference between, you know, this team and years past, I think we all can agree that this team really isn't that great by Patriot standards, by their lofty standards. But I just think the difference between having the bye and not having the bye is so massive.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
For this team, given the situation that they're in, so to lose that game at home, week 17, when your defense, which people told me was an all-time defense to start the year, allows Ryan Fitzpatrick to drive the field on you when you need it and you can't get a stop, it's hard to think of a more inexcusable regular season loss for the Patriots in the last 20 years. It's on the short list for sure. All right, Matt McCarthy in for Felger, Maz, and Murray. A final word coming up next.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The final word brought to you today by Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest price on tires. Go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. Mike O'Brien. What do we have in the final word? We have best of season here?
Well, it's, you know, end of the year, end of the decade. It's always kind of that time.
We're not going to make Billy do any work back there.
Come on. The best of what? Well, this is the best of Squeaky Maz and Mad Mike from earlier this year. Let's start off with Squeaky Maz. He had his opinion on the Patriots defense.
I'm just telling you, I'm really starting to think the first 8 weeks might have been an illusion. And, you know, and I'm not telling you a complete illusion, but something of an illusion.
Complete illusion, Maz.
Again, when you go back and look at the passing offenses, holy crap, do they all suck. Jets are 32nd in passing in the league. You played them twice. Miami's 31st. Cleveland's 30th. Buffalo's 28th. The Giants are 27th. The Redskins are 25th. Pittsburgh's 22nd. And they've gone up. You couldn't find eight more suck 22nd. Wow! Like, could you find more dog crap to put on your schedule in terms of passing the ball than what the Patriots have played? Holy crap, is that dog food! Seriously, that is absolute freaking horse manure of a passing schedule. Boy, does that suck! 32nd, 31st, 30th, 28, 27, 25, 22. You couldn't find the 8 worst passing offenses if you went down to the freaking Hockamark League. I almost swore there.
I liked it.
Holy crap! Wow, if they played garbage. Then they go up against one guy who can run, and they made him look like Joe Montana in the process because they couldn't stop the run. I'm sorry, that one shook my confidence in the defense.
Obviously.
I wasn't wrong. Looking pretty good today, Maz. You know what, actually, when we get takes wrong, people demand that we apologize. Oh, apologize. You got it wrong. Apologize. I think all the people who criticize Maz after that take, you now need to call up on Monday when he returns, or whenever he returns, Lord knows, sometime in 2020, and apologize to
apologize.
Him. Apologize.
Well, I mean, it's not the best of Squeaky Maz and Mad Mike. Without some Mad Mike on the Ravens taking a team photo.
What's the big deal with him taking a team picture?
It's like the Texans Letterman jacket
it
thing.
It is?
I think so. You don't think they play the Ravens, that's not going to be up in all the Patriots' stalls?
Oh, the Patriots put everything up on their stalls, like those babies?
It's all, you know, the rabbit-eared Patriots, where all they do is try, like, oh, you hear what they said about you? Like, that's all they do. Like, that doesn't mean anything. I can pull a fart in the hallway and they'll put up in their locker stall. Oh, just see what Valerie like. That's all they do. You know what he said? You know what he said? Oh, he said this. He said that. Oh, can you believe he said that? That's the whole Patriots experience. That doesn't mean anything. Were the Ravens out of line for taking a team picture after the game?
For a regular season win, what'd you accomplish? If the Red
if
Sox
the Pats
were,
did it, you'd be all
oh
over.
My God.
Oh, no. Oh, you mean like, I don't know, beating 8 suckbag teams and then nicknaming your defense?
Okay, that's fair. That is
they
fair.
Lose everything. My God, this is like every single NFL Network special. You know what he said? You know what he said? Oh, he said this? He said that? Can you believe he said that?
But the point is,
it's the same crap.
Win a postseason game, then you can take all the pictures you want.
It's preposterous.
I think we should do a team show picture. Bedard, you're out. Boo.
Not too bad. I will say, 8 games against crapbag teams, you name your defense. How are those boogeymen t-shirts selling today, huh?
Overseas. Send them overseas.
That's right. With the Patriots 19-0 t-shirts, too. That's where they go, right there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.